We noticed, did you, a dramatic drop-off in the number of people executed in Texas last year? 8, lowest number in 2 decades. All this week, we're exploring the state of execution in Texas, its history, how it's changed, its future. Today, getting old on Texas's death row. Between lengthy appeals and delays, inmates can spend decades waiting for that day. Some, in fact, die of natural causes before that scheduled date of execution. Such was the case last April when 2 inmates passed away, one right after the other. The Standard's Joy Diaz reports now on how older inmates live on death row and the challenges the state faces treating their health on a limited budget.
In order to understand a story about older inmates on death row, it might be worth understanding a few things about their overall living conditions. Let's begin with the women. In a way, the lives of the 6 women on death row are exceptional. They wake up in their cells, head out to a job, and then socialize or exercise until sundown when they're locked up again. Now the men. The men live very differently. Why?
Let me backtrack a little bit.
Jason Clark is a spokesperson with the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, or TDCJ.
In 1998, Martin Garuli escaped from death row.
That night, he drowned in a nearby creek. Still, since that escape, things dramatically changed for the men on death row. Today, they're held in de facto isolation in tiny cells, roughly the size of an office cubicle, 23 hours a day. Every day, they get 1 hour outdoors, in a cage, with little freedom of movement.
Is this thing working?
The recorder is working. Meet Carl Bunton.
I am 72 years old. I don't get to talk to very many people.
In 1990, Bunton killed Jim Arby, a Houston police officer. He was convicted a year later and has been on death row ever since. At 72, he is Texas's oldest man on death row. He is what TDCJ considers geriatric, inmates older than 55. And for these people, this living arrangement can have very real implications for their health.
I have all the old man ailments. I have vertigo. I have extremely high blood pressure. They call it hypertension, I guess. I have hepatitis C. Now, there's a cure for that, but they won't get the medicine for it. You know, because I'm on death row, you know, I'm expendable.
Bunton's health issues are unique, but his situation is not. 20% of death row's 230 inmates are geriatric.
Getting to see a real medical doctor is it's as rare as finding gold on death row, you know.
Bunton says he's been in pain for a while.
They think I have prostate cancer.
To confirm, he needs to be admitted into a hospital for a biopsy. TDCJ partners with the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston, more than 2 hours from where Bunton's held. In order to get there, TDCJ rules require he travels handcuffed with his hands behind his back.
But I've got this wrist problem.
Years ago, he broke his hand and arm. TDCJ rules prohibit inmates using slings because they have metal parts. Without a sling, Bunton's bones healed in an awkward way. His doctors have exempted him from being handcuffed behind his back, but no back cuffs means no ride to the hospital.
My lawyer is trying to negotiate to get them to let me wear 2 handcuffs so I can get a biopsy. And so far, they haven't had any luck.
The Texas Department of Criminal Justice wouldn't confirm Bunton's story, citing privacy laws. But if true, the health of elderly death row inmates like Bunton is not so much determined by the state's ability to provide health care, rather by rules the system isn't willing to budge on, geriatric or not. Every male death row inmate, young or old, is detained, housed, and transported under the same conditions. Without exception. TDCJ's Clark knows health problems worsen as inmates get older.
The biggest driver typically for a person and their medical needs or services generally is going to be that person's age.
Clark also says offenders receive medical care regardless of custody level. But Bunton's case suggests the rules will not be bent for death row inmates, even if, as attorneys and advocates say, it's a matter of life and death. Wallace Nader is an attorney for the Texas Civil Rights Project, a legal aid organization that's been very active in the defense of prisoners' rights. She says for years she's been pushing to loosen the housing rules that prevent inmates from exercising. She believes those rules exacerbate conditions like hypertension, a condition so widespread that half of death row inmates suffer from it. But that's just for starters.
I have heard from inmates who, for example, had to use a wheelchair, and because they didn't have an accessible van, they were not taken to the hospital. And obviously that's inadequate.
Now, let's face it. Everyone on death row is set to die, and it's a logical question to ask. Why worry about the health of someone who's already condemned? Nader says because this is bigger than death row.
If you're not sympathetic at all, it goes back to the Constitution. We are protected from cruel and unusual punishment. And failure to provide adequate medical care is considered an extension of that.
In Nader's view, the right to obtain medical care is not about extending the life of the condemned, but rather respecting the rule of law. It's a position TDCJ rejects, pointing to the provisions the state already makes for the care of inmates, irrespective of the fact that, for administrative reasons, the oldest and most frail on death row often can't access that care. Bunton's case, like those of other geriatric inmates awaiting execution, underscores the prospect of something too ironic to ignore, and perhaps too unpleasant to acknowledge, that for those who live just long enough, there's more than one way to die on death row. I'm Joy Diaz for the Texas Standard.